Amen. You guys can have a seat. We had a little bit of a tense moment at the beginning of the service. I did not realize, I forgot to go back and actually unhook the cords that were kind of encouraging our 9 o'clock service, since it's a vacation week, to kind of sit towards the middle. And so we scrambled and we got them unhooked just in time as people started filling in both wings. So if you caught Dale's story, you said it was midnight? They started setting off fireworks? See, this is why that's off. That story is so awesome. Some of you are like, man, I can't believe they kept Dale awake like that. Hang on a second. If you look back to the back, this is Miss Shirley. That's the only neighbor I know that he has directly near him. And so that means Shirley, yeah, you were setting up. Good job, Shirley. If you're out at midnight setting off fireworks, everybody see, raise your hand, Shirley. Just wave it, everybody. See, yep, that's the hand. That's the hand that held the lighter. And so she said, I'll show you. Y'all think y'all know how to do 4th of July. She just blew Brown Summit up last night. I think that's incredible. When he said that, like, that's what immediately entered my mind. Like, Dale's trying to lead back into worship, and I just have this, like, mental picture of Shirley just out there, wow, just like, you know, celebrating, just blowing up everything. Sorry. That's what happens when you do two services and you've worshiped twice. Your mind tends to wander sometimes, unfortunately. This is the week that we celebrate our independence as a nation. This is an awesome, awesome holiday. 1776, we celebrate that we declared our independence as a nation. This was a hotly debated topic. You would think independence, freedom, everybody's just on board, but it wasn't really at our nation's birth. And we declared our independence really way before the battle was over. In fact, years after we declared our independence, sometimes this war looked like it was going to go against us. We were going to lose. And having declared our independence from Britain, and had we lost, it would have really gotten bad. It would have gotten really serious in our nation. But through alliances and through God's blessing, we live in a free nation. Whether or not you were excited, I want you to think about this for a second. Whether or not you were excited about your options in the last election, I'm not going political, but just stay with me for a second. Even if you said, you know what, I'm not really excited about all my options here for president. Well, by the grace of God, we still get to vote. We have so many freedoms that are not experienced all over the world. And we have an opportunity, and we're accountable to that freedom, to use it for the glory of God and the building of His kingdom. So I hope you have a chance to celebrate, cook out, have fun, get out in the sun sometime this week. But this morning, as we're already kind of looking ahead at Independence Day, we're going to look at a part of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5, that is coming right before the battles start. I mean, the battles really kick in. And as we declared our independence, we did that in some ways before some of the most serious battles of our nation's history even began. We're going to look at a conversation this morning that Joshua has with this individual, and how we can understand it from his context, but also we can understand it in our context of the day and time that we live in. One of the things, if you don't study much in the Old Testament, if you don't dive back that direction a whole lot, one of the things we always have to remember when we go in the Old Testament is every single verse in the Old Testament we can't just grab onto and quote as a verse that directly applies to our lives. That doesn't mean that Scripture is not important. All Scripture is inspired, God-breathed. We believe that. However, the Old Testament was written in their context, so we have to hear it out of that and learn it out of that, and then see how that can apply going forward. One of the greatest things that we can appreciate and we can get from the Old Testament is a deeper knowledge of who God is. Because even though the names change and some things change between the Old Testament and the New Testament, especially the grace that we're given through Jesus that we just sang about, even though that is the major hinge point, the God of the Old Testament is still the God in the New Testament. The things that are true about God in the Old Testament are still true about God in the New Testament. And that's a very, very, very important thing for us to understand. So as we look at this passage, we're going to look at it from the context that Joshua was in, but then we're going to look at it for the truth that we can live in as well. Okay? So we're going to get started in Joshua chapter 5, and this is only 3 verses. I know today you've heard a lot of announcements, and you're probably already thinking right now, oh dear Lord, Derek's now starting to preach. The clock is accurate, and I'm going to do my best to be faithful to God's word. but spend the time we need to in here, and then we're going to get on and celebrate. For those that are of our church family that are going to listen to this service and they're not here today, you lose, because that was awesome worship, and we get to see each other. And if you're not here, you're probably getting a sunburn because God's punishing you, okay? So I don't think that's exactly how God works, but if somebody's burned after they listen to the service, they're going to sit and think about that as they apply aloe. Verse 13, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or our enemies?" Now, before we go into the next two verses, I want you to understand something. Put yourself in Joshua's shoes for a moment. They have come out of this slavery where they were both physically enslaved and spiritually enslaved out of Egypt. God has brought them out into freedom as far as their lives, their functioning lives, but he also, as part of that plan, was to bring them into freedom of worshiping him and freedom of living a holy life close to God. Now, in that movement, Joshua had gone through a lot of things. He had heard, he had seen some of the greatest victories that he's ever seen. He saw the parting of the Red Seas, but he also heard for 40 years some of the greatest whining that he could ever have listened to and complaining. Joshua then, with the nation of Israel, as they were gathered up and as they were moving forward, they stepped and they crossed the Jordan as well on dry ground, and they're getting ready to go occupy some land that is already occupied. Consider this. If you drive through some neighborhood, sometimes I just drive through neighborhoods and I look at houses and I think, man, it would be awesome to live there. But never do I think a house is so awesome that I pull into the driveway and I walk up there with Wendy and the boys with suitcases and knock on the door and say, "I'm here to tell you, I'm so excited. I feel like I've been promised this house, and we're moving in." And us moving in means you're going to have to move out. That's when you have the police called on you. I've never done that. But on a very much larger and more significant scale, the nation of Israel literally had been promised this area. God was taking them into it, and they were going to have, but there were people living there. It was occupied. People aren't just going to relinquish their land, their possessions, and everything that they've built in life. They're going to fight. Some of the greatest battles were in days ahead of them. This person that appears in the way that they're getting ready to answer the question that Joshua asked, Joshua saw this person, and he saw something that he wanted to know. Because of the way maybe he looked, the warrior that he saw, the strength that he assumed, he wanted to know, was this individual for him or against him? Now, a lot of people believe in studying Old Testament Scripture. We do know in Old Testament Scripture there are appearances of Jesus. They're called Christophanies. It's an appearance of Jesus on earth, but outside of what we read about in the Gospels. Now, many people think, and it doesn't say specifically in Scripture, but many people believe that this is one of them because of how he describes himself. So consider the possibility, as Joshua sees someone that he is naturally drawn to, like we are drawn to Jesus through the gospel, he sees someone, he wants to know, are you for me or are you against me? And this is how the answer comes back. In one word, initially, verse 14, neither. That was probably not immediately the most encouraging news he could have imagined, but I want you to listen to how he explains this. Neither, he replied, I have now come as the commander of the Lord's army. Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in worship and asked him, what does my Lord want to say to his servant? The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did that. Now, Joshua is getting ready again to go into Jericho. This is the first major victory that they see. And this is a God-sized victory. They're marching around the city seven times, and then God gives them the city and gives them victory. But before that ever happens, Joshua asked a really critical question of this commander of the Lord's army. Are you for me or are you against me? And I think in that is a question that we can really struggle with in our walks with Jesus, our Christian life. Because many times we assume that we can just kind of dive into something, and we have heard at some point, God's just going to fight all your battles. And we think that is a blanket statement that will always apply. And it's not. And that's why we're going to walk through this passage to see what was going on here, so we can make sure that we make the correct application in our lives, because God does want to fight battles for us. But we have to have a deeper understanding of what those battles are. There's going to be something on the screen here as we walk through the context of the book of Joshua to make sure that we understand how they would have heard it and how they would have understood this. The first one is this chosen complex that the nation of Israel often had. They were God's chosen people. Now, think about this. You are in a demographic that God has blessed and promised blessings on, and He has identified you as His people. He's made promises to you, and He has fulfilled those promises. And the world is supposed to see God as they see you. So you walk around with the assumption of, well, God is ultimately going to bless us and give us and provide for us. And those are all true things that God wants to do. But the pitfall is, for the nation of Israel, and at times for us as Christians, they develop this thing of, well, we are God's chosen people. That must mean that whatever victory we go into, God's just going to give us the win. And then after we get the win, we can kind of handle things. We can handle the win however we want to handle it. If you want to see more how this looks, you only have to read about another 4 or 5 chapters. You'll see the nation of Israel go into Jericho, and you'll see them get the victory. And they get it because they were obedient to God. They did everything the way that He said. But then they go in and they mishandle the resources and the things and the people that were there that God specifically told them what to do. And then they go and fight another battle. They think, oh, this is going to go just as good. And they lose at Ai because they were disobedient. Then when they brought their lives back in line with God, they fight the same group of people again, but then they get the win. Now, for some of us, we hear that and we think, okay, so if I go to church today, then that means this week's going to go good. No, it's more of an obedience than that. Because just showing up at a religious event or whatever it feels like, that's not a life devoted. God was after the life devoted to Him. He was after the holiness. He was after the purity. He was after the righteousness. So when God's people followed Him and they obeyed, see, what they missed was that many times what was going on was this next thing. That God's battle plan was designed to lead them. See, they looked at a battle in front of them as the biggest thing going on, and the battle in front of them most of the time was just the next step in where God was leading them. Knowing that God had steps after that. See, sometimes if you've ever been like me, we ramp ourselves up and we pour all of our energy into the battle that is right in front of us, not thinking, you know what, if I don't utilize the resources God gives me, I may have just enough of my own energy to make it through this, but I'll never make it through the next step after this. And see, God knows each of those steps. That's why He wants us to engage in the right battles and allow Him to do so much more than we can do. The battles were supposed to lead Israel. God wanted to not shove them into something. He wanted to lead them. He wanted it to be about obedience. The battles that God entered into were about fulfilling promises and punishing sin. See, this was totally missed on the nation of Israel. When they went into a battle, they were like, hey, this is going to get us some notoriety. We're going to be famous from this. This battle goes well. This is going to be talked about, and people are going to spread the word, so the next time we show up on the scene, everybody's just going to be shaking in their boots at us. They're going to be scared. And what they missed was, what they missed so bad was, these battles that God was leading them into, some of these battles were against nations that God needed to punish and hold them accountable for their sin. It really didn't even have that much to do with the nation of Israel. It was about the truth that God always holds people accountable to their sin. Some of the battles that they went into, it wasn't so much that God wanted them to feel like they were successful. It was just a battle about a promise that God had already made to them. So the battle just became necessary because there was an obstacle between the nation of Israel and the promise that God gave them. Sometimes the battles that we face, it isn't so much about the person that's frustrating us so bad, is that they just happen to be between us and a promise that God's made us. And they just become necessary to deal with. It's really not that personal. The last thing on here says, God fights from holy ground. This is so important. When Joshua heard the response from this commander of the Lord's army, he heard that this was a voice from God. This was a message from God. Joshua's response was phenomenal. To realize that he had the opportunity to hear a word from God, he simply just fell on his face and bowed down, and he said, "What does the Lord want his servant to hear?" And the response then was, "Well, so let's start with this. The ground that you're on is holy, so take off your shoes." Now for us, we're like, okay, so that's an odd transition in the conversation. They're getting ready to fight all these battles, so he, you know, said, "Hey, let's kick back and talk about spiritual things with our shoes off." No. The thing that we need to understand is this. When Joshua heard that there was a message coming from God, he stopped and he got in the correct posture. He put himself in a physically obedient and worshipful mode towards God so that he could hear from them and then realize that just approaching God put him on holy ground, and that needed to be respected and valued and appreciated and understood. See, every battle that God wanted the nation of Israel to fight, it was coming from holy ground. It was coming from a correct and right decision to enter this battle. See, for some of us, we look at a relationship, we look at a person, we look at a job, we look at a whatever, and we look at it, and we see that it looks like a battle. And we're trying to decide whether or not we go into it. And what you need to hear this morning is, if it's a battle that God is wanting you to engage in, it will be a holy battle. It'll deal with sin being eliminated. It'll be with forgiveness being gotten. It will deal with grace being given. It will deal with the kingdom being built. It will deal with those things, and it will come from a holy position, meaning we have the right and then responsibility to fight that battle. If they don't come from that, then those are battles that we're going to spend a ton of energy in the middle of. We're going to get crazy beat up over them, and we're going to be exhausted and defeated on the other side. Now, that was the conversation that Joshua had with this commander of the Lord's army. Quite possibly Jesus, the Son of God, in the Old Testament. He started out the conversation going, "Okay, are you on my side or not?" Then he heard this great, amazing, and earth-shaking truth. God isn't on our side or on our enemy's side. God simply is just God, and he's just right. God doesn't bend over the edge of eternity going, "Hey, man, I hope, you know, whatever Dale's getting ready to jump into this week, whatever Derek's getting ready to jump into this week, I'm just going to jump on board with them because they're great guys. They love me. They call themselves pastors. They're phenomenal. One can sing, one..." Yeah. So, I'm just going to jump on board with them. No. We wake up with breath because God shows us grace. And if he says that there is truth, then we're supposed to be on his side. If you ever have had a conversation with somebody and they're wanting you to choose sides, still to this day in counseling and pastoring and just being a Christian, one of the things that I have just yet to see somebody be able to completely refute when somebody says, "Hey, are you on my side or their side?" God's. Because if we pursue God, just like Joshua started doing here, okay, just speak to your servant, then we will find what's right. Because when we go to side choosing and battle fighting, sometimes we end up so turned around, we're so confused, we don't know where we stand. Well, let's look at it from our standpoint, the New Testament church. Jesus has already won the battle over sin and death. That's the gospel. If you've never began a relationship with Jesus Christ, the good news is that this ultimate battle that was defeating humanity was sin. And Jesus Christ died for that sin. He took it on so that in his death, sin in God's eyes would be paid for. Because the penalty for sin has always been death. But in the perfect plan of God, he did not want his story to end with death. He wanted his story to be continued with new life. And when Jesus came out of the grave, if you wonder, why was there a few people around me clapping when we start singing about when Jesus comes back out of the grave? Because that is the new life that put the stamp on the battle as won. And throughout the rest of history, from the early church to right now, the battle over sin has been won. Jesus has won that battle, and he's provided the victory, and he's provided new life. He's provided that opportunity. But in a bigger sense, God is still wanting to battle sin to get it out of our lives. He's wanting to battle sin to get it away from us in the world. He's wanting to build His kingdom. There are things that God is doing that really are battles that we have an opportunity to get on board with. But the starting place is a relationship with God and realizing that battle's won. And like we talked about last week, that was the one thing for us that's impossible. So if that now is possible for us to know God through Jesus, then anything is possible. Any battle's winnable if we choose the right ones. Second thing I have on here is there are battles fought outside and inside of you as a Jesus follower. See, Joshua was getting ready to literally, physically, with his feet, walk on to battlegrounds, Jericho and Ai and these other territories. But see, we are the New Testament church. Yes, there are battles that are going on around us. There are conversations that we have to have and people that we need to talk to and relationships that need work. And there's so many things that we have to do that are outside of us. But because as saved individuals, God's Spirit lives in us when we're saved, there are battles going on outside of us, but God is also wanting to wage war on sin on the inside of us. See, Joshua, in a glimpse, shows us the very thing that we need to do. All the stuff that feels like it's attacking you in your life and attacking me in my life, the greatest thing before we fight an external battle is to let God help us with these internal battles that are sin and struggles in our lives. And say, okay, God, speak to your servant. Let me hear what you want to hear. Let me realize, God, when I'm close to you, this is a holiness thing, not just a happiness thing. And as God speaks to us, then we know what battles to even engage in. I mean, think about this for a second. If God could speak to you this week so personally that you know it's His voice because it matches His word and you're experiencing that kind of communication with God, if God speaks to you on that level, He most likely would tell you the same thing He's told me many a times, which is this: you're fighting battles and you're using your energies on things that are a waste because they're not really about building the kingdom. They're about tearing the kingdom down. They're not about pushing sin out of people's lives through encouragement and grace and love and forgiveness. It's about just focusing on sin and letting sin become the main issue. It's amazing what God, I really believe, would tell us when we're quiet. The last thing I have on here is this chosen complex. See, the nation of Israel really, really, really struggled with this. I mean, they were called, I mean, they got a name. We're Israel. We're the nation of Israel. We are a people, and God is for us. And see, they totally misinterpreted some of the things from their past. When you go back into Exodus, when God parts the Red Sea, Moses stood up in front of the people, told them to look back as the Egyptians were trailing them out. He said, you watch this right now. He said, God is going to fight this battle for you. These Egyptians that are chasing you are going to be wiped out on the face of the earth. And the waters did. They literally crashed down and wiped them out. But see, they made a wrong interpretation of that. They just heard God fights battles. And they thought that would be universally true. And then all of a sudden, in a couple chapters later, they've been disobedient to God, and they rolled in expecting God to still bless them. And God said, no, if you'll do this on your own, I'll let you. And all of a sudden, well, I can say, God, I thought you were supposed to fight all my battles. God said, see, you're misunderstood. This isn't my battle. Remember, I'm not on your side or their side. I'm on my side. I want you with me. And that's what was going on as Christians in our culture. Sometimes we live so self-righteously and we proclaim our own agenda so wrongly that we're not engaged in the battle that God is really about, which is saving people, bringing people close to Him through grace and through love, not through anger and screaming. He's about building the kingdom, not just building one individual church. We say this here a lot. We love what God does here. But if we ever get off track, we ever get more on track about God being on our side through Reading Fork as compared to us being on the kingdom side, I can promise you, you won't have to worry about money or doors being open or anything. We'll just need to be gone. because we have to stay on his side. We foolishly sometimes, our Christians, think we can just live however we want to live. And God is just continually going to wage battles for us. See, the farther away from God that we live, the more sin that we allow in our lives, we are entering into battles and into situations in our lives that God is not going to just freely war for us, because we're pursuing that instead of pursuing him. Doesn't that just make logical sense? The more we pursue God in our pursuit of him, and as we move to him, whatever obstacles that are between us and him, God is all about just throwing those out of the way. See, Joshua saw this amazing warrior, and he thought, I just got to know, are you on my side or are you not? He wanted to, as we want to do, we want to rein God in and say, God, get on board with this, right? Bless my, I made horrible financial decisions, but now bless me right now. I've just completely been unfaithful in my marriage, but bless it right now. We're pitting God in a battle that he hasn't chosen to fight. Yesterday, I took on a little Saturday morning project. I complained. I just vented to Dale. He just willingly took my griping yesterday, just so gracefully. I had a couple of Bradford pears in my yard that over the course of mine and Wendy's marriage, which we just celebrated the 16th anniversary of, by the grace of God, my wife still loves me. Amen. I'm so excited about that because, yeah, you ought to clap for that. Clap for her. I test that on the regular. I don't even know if people say that anymore, on the regular. That's not current anymore. I always go to Dale for like his wisdom. Now Jeremy's even like another layer behind him of now cool and fabulous hair. I found myself struggling to worship, but looking at your head of hair. So yesterday, we have a Bradford pear, and they've gotten way, way, way too big, horribly too big. And about a third of it split off probably like a year ago, but it was so huge, a third of it split off, and it was still a really big, good-looking tree, and it provides shade to this one corner of our house. So I left it. And about a couple weeks ago, in one of the storms, another big part of it split off and just kind of landed on the playset that we have in our backyard. So yesterday morning, I'm realizing, I've still got a couple of weeks with some ministry stuff to be out of town this summer, and I can see this, it just keeps creeping and leaning over. And the problem is, the direction that it's starting to lean is way more towards my house and my air conditioning unit and all that stuff than it is away from my house. So yesterday morning, I'd called my father-in-law, and he's kind of the, superhero in my family's life, and so he comes over and chainsaws and everything, and so we're starting to cut this tree down. First thing, we just kind of cleaned off what had all fallen. And then what we have left are just these huge bends in the tree. And we're kind of looking at it, and I'm like, I don't know. I really just don't know what to do right now, because this thing looks like it's just going to kill somebody or break my house or something. I'm already starting to, Google my insurance agent's number just to call him just to say, hey, I've lost a corner of my house. And so my father-in-law says, well, let's start with this side over here, and let's take this down first. That was the side that was still going back towards the playset. So me, because my father-in-law many times is the hero, I decided that it was time for me to play the hero. Got my confidence up. Had a rope that had this weight thing on the end, and I threw it through the tree, and it goes between a fork in the tree. So I wrap it around it, and I go far as I can to the other side. I'm almost in my neighbor's property, and I'm pulling. With everything the rope can do and everything that my arms can do, which combined is a lot more on the rope side than my side. And I'm pulling with everything I got, because he's going to cut this tree down and it's going to come down, and I need it to come to my side, because if it doesn't come to my side, it's going to be bad. And he cuts it and it starts popping and it starts coming down, and I'm just at the last second, I'm pulling, and it just knocks the swing side of the place it off. Just takes it to the ground, bends all the brackets, the wooden beam just, and it wasn't in great shape before, but it's flat now. So I'm like, well, that's fantastic. So then there's the last side of the tree, and this is the big part. And essentially, if you stood behind the tree and you looked the direction that it's got to fall, it's got a pretty good chance of hitting the corner of my house, which is the back bedroom my younger two sons share. And then my air conditioning unit. There's a strip here that's a possibility right between them. And then there's my neighbor's truck over here, and he's not home. Yeah, make that call. So, you know, I look at my father-in-law. I said, well, I said, I can, I might even have hitched up my pants just like that. I can throw the rope up there and pull again. And he looks at me and he goes, nah. Because he sees about all my effort is done, and he realizes this tree. So he gets over there. And between me and my father-in-law, neither one of us are what you would call super fast. Both of us have bad knees, and I'm the fast one of the two, and I'm not fast enough. So we go over there, and he notches out just a little wedge out of the tree, and he goes around to the backside, and I'm doing what I do, emotional support and prayer. And he's, you know, he just kind of barely hits the other side with a chainsaw. Because he still told me, he said, I'm still going to go back over here. I want to notch it out to make sure it really best chance we get it goes that way. Well, he just kind of hits it. Just a few wood chips go. And all of a sudden you just hear it, pop, 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 pop. And then you hear one loud pop. So we do our celebration retreat to get away from there. And that tree just, boom, right in the one open strip. I was pretty excited. Still have air conditioning. Still have a bedroom for my younger two kids. I did not have to call my neighbor and say, I am sorry about your truck. And when I'm thinking through this last night and I'm reading over this passage again, you know, I really feel like for a lot of times in my life, that's what I've done. I've gone to this one thing that looks like this one battle, and I've thrown my rope over it, and I've said, okay, God, I need you over here. I need you on board with what I really think needs to be done right now. And I'm pulling and pulling and pulling only to realize that I create a mess. The little bit of pulling that I did just caused it to crash down on something that was important to me. Because here's the thing. God doesn't destroy what he's about. God doesn't destroy the church. God doesn't destroy creation. God doesn't destroy marriages. God doesn't destroy relationships and lives. He doesn't destroy salvation. He's all about building and maintaining and providing in those things. But as I'm watching this tree fall, and I'm watching it going, I hope this thing falls right. I'm in a moment where I realize I truly have no control. It has got all the power, all the weight, and all the force. And I'm just hoping that it doesn't crush something. What a sad way to live our lives. Not in taking a tree down in our yard, but in the battles that we have. What a sad thing to try to pull God into what we think is right, or just stand back, fingers crossed, just hoping that we don't get destroyed and nothing just gets demolished. God never intended us to lead either one of those lives. His full intent is for us to have moments like Joshua did to say, okay, God, you want to speak to me before I jump into any battle, before Jericho even jumps off? Let me just put myself in the right posture to you and say, God, you are holy, and I'm on your territory. I'm on your turf, and I need to hear your word. So you speak to your servant. That's who I am. And if we would take that approach to life, then the battles that are in front of us would be ones that God leads us to, not ones that we chase and pursue. And if he leads you to a battle, he's going to fight it. But it's really important that it's his battle. Because when it's not, you're going to be like me, just trying to tug the tree over, and something's going to get destroyed, even if it's just your energy and your time. The battles that God wants to win, outside of you and inside of you, are worth the fight, and they're worth getting on his side because he's got all the resources. So don't be scared of battles. We live in a nation that in 1776 declared its own independence. If you know that you're saved, then wake up and declare it. I am a child of the King. King Jesus is at the command of this army, his army, that is far more powerful than me. If you're not saved, then you can begin a relationship with Jesus today. We'll show you how to do that. We'll talk to you through that in Scripture. Not what we say, but what God says. Because again, we're not asking you to come on our side. I'm asking you to join God's side. But if you're in the middle of a fight, if you really feel exhausted, if it really feels like work right now, before you just dive into another day of it, take some time. Humble yourself before God. God, I'm the servant. You're the king. Speak to me. Speak to your servant. Tell me. Take a step closer to Him, whether it's getting forgiveness for a sin, getting out of your life, turning from it, having a hard conversation with somebody. Take one step that pleases Him. That's one step towards God. That's one step towards holy ground. And that's the position that God's fighting from. That's the position that He wants you to live in and fight from. That's what He's called us to. Will you bow your heads for just a second? We're going to begin worship here. We just want to worship Jesus. I mean, that's the heartbeat of our church. But our heartbeat is also is to reach people and to encourage them to live the life of a Jesus follower. And being a Jesus follower will mean that there will be some battles in your life. If you were looking for a way out of that, that's not accurate towards Scripture. We want to be accurate towards Scripture. The good news, though, is the greatest battle of all time, Jesus has already won. That's the battle over sin and the battle over death. So in getting new life, you already are on the side of victory. The momentum is already moving in your favor. Every battle that follows, if it's a battle that God is leading you into, He'll fight it, He'll resource it, He'll fund it, and He'll get the victory. If it's a battle, though, that is self-driven, if it's a battle like I choose, I get aggravated at somebody, so I want to confront them. There's an issue that I want to jump into and handle fast. This week, God has, I've just stopped before I've jumped into some things and said, okay, God, I can't just preach this. I need to live this. So you speak to your servant. You speak to me, and you tell me, God, what is from your heart? Is this a battle or not a battle? Is this something you want me to do or not do? You lead me. And I'm standing here today with more energy and more inspiration and more freshness and more reviving in my soul, because not because of something I've done, but because of who I've listened to. Maybe the greatest battle in your life is not one that God even wants you in. Maybe the real battle is the one He's trying to fight inside of you to bring you to Him. If today you want to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you would like to talk to somebody, pray over that, we'd love for you to come forward. That's a prayer that God wants to hear from you, that you believe in Jesus and you're committed wholeheartedly, whole life to follow Him. We want to encourage you in that, though. If you pray and make that decision, please come tell me, one of our leaders that are here at church, one of the people you see serving, so we can pray and encourage you and help equip you and lead you into some next steps that God has shown us out of Scripture that are His steps. But I want to encourage you, if you feel like you're just in the middle of a battle right now, don't assume that that's just your destiny, that's your fate, and that's what you've got to do. Just hear from God first. Worst case scenario, if it's a battle that He's led you into, then He wants to encourage you to let you know He's fighting for you and He has all the resources that you'll need. Because Jesus is our resurrected King. God, as we worship You this morning, as we honor You and as we seek to please You, God, Lord, we pray that we're every week faithful out of Your word. God, thank You that in the life of Joshua, when he was between celebrating, moving into a promise, and right before he had to face fear and war and battles, God, that You gave him a moment that he could clearly hear You. And God, I believe that this morning is our moment to hear from You directly. So God, speak into our hearts and in our lives through Your Spirit that is in us if we're saved. God, if someone in here is not saved, Lord, just speak into them. Allow them to hear that all the conversations and all the equipping and all the help comes when that relationship starts. That yes, every life will have battles. But if we're Jesus followers, God, our battles have a purpose because they're Your purpose. You get to call them battles, so You get to decide what is a win and what is a loss, how victory happens and how defeat happens. God, battle sin in our life. Show it to us so that we can be on holy ground with You. God, the things that are between us and you, you want to remove them. And it may not be easy, but God, you'll lead us through it. So whatever the need is, God, the altar is open to pray. Our hearts, God, I pray, are open to worship. So lead us through these moments, Lord. Help us to be obedient to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand up and worship? The altar will be open if you'd like to come up and pray.